Hello, this is Monocle Reads. I'm Georgina Godwin, and today I'm taking you out of the studio to a large spa town on the edge of the Cotswolds in Gloucestershire, here in England. So every year I do a little programme about Cheltenham Literary Festival because I come and chair here every year, and it's one of the most important events on the literary calendar in this country and indeed worldwide. Well, this year I thought I'd give you a different look backstage. So I'm in Cheltenham in their office, in the festival office, and I have the entire team around me, starting with Nicola Tuxworth. Nikki, what's your actual title?
Head of Programming, the Cheltenham Literature Festival.
So how does it come about? Because obviously you're planning this for months and months in advance.
Yes, that's right. We have a full-time team, and we have, in a normal year, which we're hoping this one will be again, we have around 1,000 participants, about 500 events, including the free programme and the family programme. And so it's a huge logistical task, which is year-round for us. We start with the theme and the sort of overall creative platform for the festival, which this year and for the next 2 years and possibly beyond that, who knows, is Read the World. So we're looking at an emphasis on international and translated fiction, trying to bring that more into the programme. And because of our digital capability now, that's unleashed a whole kind of area of creativity that we couldn't deliver before. We couldn't get, you know, Isabel Allende in front of our audiences. But now we can have digital dial-ins quite seamlessly. So that's very exciting.
And that's because last year, in the midst of COVID, you did a hybrid festival, and you're keeping that model on.
Yes, so last year was truly hybrid in that we had a socially distanced audience and we streamed the festival live. This year we're limiting the amount of live streaming we're doing, but we are going to have a sort of player model which you can subscribe to. But what it has done is it's meant that we now know that actually dialing in on a platform of live speakers works really well and is very seamless, as I said. So we did an award-winning sort of pivot festival last year, so building on the knowledge for that, but obviously we're very excited to be back properly in person with packed venues and so forth.
And it feels you, the atmosphere here is very exciting. And for me, just coming into Cheltenham, I sort of remember all the joy I have here annually. And your programme looks absolutely fantastic.
Well, I think, that's down to the hard work of the whole team. And I think people, you know, every year when they start measuring out the Montpellier Gardens with the tapes and wheels for the tents, that's our cue to sort of feel those butterflies starting. So I think this year we'll be actually very excited to see that too, because it is the start of everything. Site takes about 3 weeks to build, so that'll be any minute now.
This is, in fact, I think, the oldest literary festival in the world.
Yes, it is, and we established that in 2019 by sort of saying we were and then seeing if anyone if anyone came in to argue with us. And we did have a small, I think Lilyhammer or somebody said, yes, you actually are, because you beat us by 1 year or something. So Lilyhammer in Norway. But yes, we are. We came out of the sort of ashes of World War II and the foundation of the Arts Council and so forth to sort of bring culture and joy back to a battered population. So, and we're still going strong. And I suppose if you like, you know, sort of coming out of COVID and still being here is almost like a sort of throwback to that, really.
How have you seen it change? I mean, obviously you haven't been here since the very beginning, because that would make
you
97.
Feels like it.
But how has it changed over the years?
Well, I would say the main way it's changed is, you know, it's become much more inclusive in terms of the audience. You know, it was a sort of town hall festival with a small audience and actually quite an undiverse collection of speakers, which not to denigrate it, because it was a product of its time, but now I think the festival is far more diverse in terms of what we offer to bookers, you know, the range of events and also the participants we include in the festival too. So I'd say that overall is the main. Everything reflects, you know, the way the publishing industry has changed too. You know, the pipeline that's feeding through to us now is much more diverse, much more kind of bold, if you like, in terms of the issues that are being discussed and so forth, and the voices that are being welcomed into print. that, you know, we're delighted to pick up on that, actually. Mm. And I would say the other thing is free events, you know, it's far more free. And also I think the family programme ran slightly behind the foundation of the adult programme. So that is also, you know, a change, a fundamental change since we started, yes.
So tell me how the process works. Months in advance, you start getting pitches from publishers.
Yes, we do. And we solicit those as well. So we do actually, well, we used to sort of stomp around all the publishing houses in person. I think we'll keep doing that digitally from now on, because obviously it's quite a long process. But yes, you know, publishers have a budget associated with their new books that are coming out, and part of that budget is spent on publicising authors and books at festivals. So they're a key stakeholder for us. So they will ask us to include particular books on the programme. And that's fine. I mean, we get pitched far more books than we can possibly include. But our job is to turn those pitches into events. And that is quite a key distinction, because what we've got to provide is a coherent, artistically, you know, a sort of something that has artistic merit, reflects the zeitgeist, and also attracts, you know, not to put a fine point on it, paying customers. You know, that is the model we're working to. So we can't include everyone, but by having a theme that starts the corners of the jigsaw, you know, and also our objectives in terms of younger audiences, new audiences, and so forth, new voices, that also dictates. So it is a curated festival. You know, you can't be on our programme unless we think you should be on our programme.
And so those discussions are taking place around this table. The various members of your team that we're going to meet in a moment come with those ideas and you discuss them.
Yes, we discuss them, and we've been working together for a long time. So there's a lot of consensus around what we're trying to achieve. But I would say that people look up the programmers, as you'll find out, look after different parts of the programme because it's so big. And I would say that the creative meetings we have here every Wednesday are really kind of add to the quality of what everyone's doing in their own, because they feel supported too. And very often someone's read something or seen something or noticed something, you know, that they contribute into that meeting. I think it strengthens it enormously.
Let me meet the team then.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Finneran. I'm the Festival's Programme and Commissions Manager.
What does that actually mean?
So within the programming team, I sort of look after a lot of the literary content. So I sort of head up fiction, poetry. I share classic literature with Sophie, who you'll meet in a second. Also key on the Read the World themes. I do a lot with international writers and partnerships with international festivals and embassies, trusts, foundations, etc. And then the commissioning part of my role is sort of commissioning new work or new ways to do events at the festival.
And so what work has been commissioned for this year?
So obviously we've got the Read the World theme, and as Nicola said, developing all those digital capabilities last year for the hybrid edition has made us sort of think afresh about how we bring in certain writers to the programme. So obviously you'll see lots of writers, you know, being interviewed on stage like you would in a normal year, but with writers like Colson Whitehead in the US or Isabel Allende, we've commissioned professionally filmed interview series, more sort of like a TV broadcast, as it were, for those. We've also made partnerships with, we felt it was really important with the Read the World theme that we weren't just cherry picking the big names, that we were really kind of using our talent development. We've become really good, I think, at really sort of picking out those writers at a very early stage in their career and supporting them, giving them their first big platform and really sort of supporting them through the kind of different stages that they progress through. We wanted to really transfer that to the international writers as well. So, you know, we're working with Auckland Writers Festival to tell us who the great new New Zealand writers are, and likewise with the Japan Foundation. So we really hope that sort of Cheltenham's a real snapshot of the international literary community, and it's sort of your passport to a world of ideas. And then outside of the theme, other commissions include, we've got Giles Torreira, who played Aaron Burr in Hamilton, and we've commissioned him to do this year's Shakespeare lecture. So that's a really long-running tradition at Cheltenham. It's been going for decades, and he's going to sort of do a fresh spin on it, talking about the kind of surprising links between Shakespeare and Lin-Manuel Miranda's Hamilton.
Fantastic. I guess we'll carry on. Yeah. Thank you.
Hi. Yeah, I'm Sophie Holt. I'm one of the Literature Festival Programme Managers.
So tell me what your job entails.
So like Lindsay and like Nicola and the rest of the team, I work on certain sections of the programme. So I work quite a lot on our non-fiction areas. I look after our history collection, our memoir and biography. I share some of our classic lit programming, literature programming, our nature programme and some travel events as well. So
a huge amount of reading for you.
Yeah, and I think we all kind of read and share ideas throughout the year. And as Nicola said, we sort of start off the year, we're obviously looking at books that are coming out that year, but we're also looking at the sort of general cultural landscape. So Emma, whose programme's our art strand, will be looking at, you know, big exhibitions out that year and so on. So we're sort of getting ideas from lots of different places as well as just, you know, the new publishing for the year.
Now, one thing that always fascinates me, because it's the side of it that I'm familiar with, is chairing. And I think quite often people say an event is only as successful as the chair, but that is really down to programmers being able to find the right chair for the right event. Is that, in your opinion, important? Do you need to match the event with the person?
It's so important, and I think that's an area that we've done quite a lot of work on over the last few, you know, the last few years, particularly working together as a team, really recognising how crucial that role is and sort of how much that is the linchpin for the event. And we've really brought that process into our programming process over the last few years in particular, so that we're thinking as Nicola says, we curate our events, and as we're doing that, we're also thinking about the sort of dynamic of our pairings and of our panels and what sort of personality would work well with that. And yeah, very definitely it's a really important element, and like you say, can sort of make or break the event. So we're very privileged to work with so many brilliant and expert chair people, as you know.
Next. Sophie, I'm looking at a really complicated document on this computer. It's lots of different colours, it's venues, it's times. What is that? How does it work?
So you are looking at the Literature Festival Venue Grid, which is our dear and close friend from the start of the process. I think when we talk about all sitting around a table, talking about ideas and going to exhibitions, it sounds very creative, which it is, of course, but there is obviously a huge part of what we do is finer detail and being incredibly organised and mapping out exactly how we want the programme to look and how the programme's actually going to fit together. It's a big jigsaw, and we have to make sure that it fits together perfectly, and obviously that participants, you know, our speakers are here at the right times but are also in front of the right sort of audience, don't have any clashes in their schedules, and we have to map out. So from the start of the process, we create this document that you're looking at, which is the venue grid, and it's essentially a sort of programming Excel spreadsheet, and we have to plot the number of events that we want to be programming in the year, the times of those events, making sure that we are taking into account lots of different factors around practicalities, sort of production practicalities on site and speaker practicalities and that sort of thing. And we work to this document throughout the year, and we start to sort of map out where events are going to go. And it is a really complex process. We obviously all use this all the time, and it's something that's shared with the wider organisation as well, so that all the other teams are also looking at it. Our development team, who work with our sponsors and partners, obviously our production team, who are taking care of all the practicalities. So yes, it's probably difficult to explain exactly how it works in brief, but it is a really crucial tool for us.
Looks a bit scary to me.
It is, especially now production.
Let's move on.
Hello, so I'm Lorraine Evans, and I'm the programme manager for all the children's events on our family and schools programmes.
And as Nikki said, that was a more recent arrival.
Yeah, I haven't been there since the beginning, but I think it started about 40 years ago. That's my sort of recollection. I've been here 5 years, and since I've been here, we have grown the programme. So we now do about 80 events for families, about 50 events for schools, and lots of free events. We've really focused on providing all that wraparound free drop-in activities for families. again, it's going back to what Nicola said about being really inclusive. So you can come along, you can have a whole day, you can bring a packed lunch and still enjoy lots of all the sort of bookish fun that we've put on without buying a single ticket, if you'd like.
That's amazing. And I mean, there's been such an explosion of fantastically diverse and wonderful children's literature recently.
Yeah, there really has. And actually, one of the areas that has really, really developed is nonfiction. There's been, you know, whereas at one point everybody thought, oh, the internet had killed nonfiction, publishers have been so inventive with format and illustration, and that's an area we've really grown this year. So 30% of our family and schools programme this year is nonfiction, and we're working with The Week Junior as our guest curator this year as well to put together some really fantastic panels.
Excellent. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Fionn Molyneux. I'm the Literature Festival coordinator. So I work on a few of the smaller collections, the Ancient World Collection, Locally Sourced, Faith and Philosophy and Science, and then act as kind of, I guess, the first point of call for other teams in the organisation and kind of field all the jobs out and stuff. And working as well on the Lit Crawl this year, which is our like bookish pub crawl. So yeah, very exciting.
When you talk about the other parts of the organisation, that's because Cheltenham has more than one festival.
Yeah, so most of the other teams work cross-festival, obviously doing the jazz festival, the music festival and the science festival as well. And actually Emma and I work across literature and science too, so there's quite a lot of crossover with lots of different teams, and especially with us programming science and literature as well.
Tell me about Locally Sourced.
That's a lovely collection where we try and bring in local authors and lots of different writers as well to be part of the programme. So we have a couple of events in our main programme and then work with local writers who submit their manuscripts and stuff for us to read. And we have like some free events which they talk about their writing, do readings. Yeah, and it's really good to have local authors from all around Cheltenham, all around Gloucestershire involved in the programme.
Excellent. Yeah. And the last one.
Hi, I'm Emma Whittle and I'm one of the programme managers at the festival. I programme a lot of the non-fiction collections, so art and design. I work with Nicola on our current affairs collection, some psychology as well, and I'm also the programmer for a really exciting new project that we're launching at the Literature Festival this year called Voice Box, which is for our 18 to 30 audience. It's a selection of sort of pop-up free events in a really immersive and beautiful new venue that we hope will create a real moment for our young audience to experience some amazing talent that we have every year at the festival.
With current affairs, obviously it's quite difficult to predict what's going to happen a few months ahead. So is that quite challenging to put that together, or are you looking at the books that are coming out that perhaps reflect historically on what has been happening?
I think it's a combination. So Nicola and I will tend to programme the current affairs events last out of, you know, our different collections. And we're really sort of keeping track of the news as well as what's publishing that year. It's really about sort of taking the temperature of what's happening globally and what's really important to, or seems to be really important to the public, and then bringing those issues together so that we can talk about them and debate them on stage.
Nikki, I'm just going to come back to you for a last word, because of course this festival has many sponsors and a lot of people come together to make sure that it works. I know that Sky Arts will be here again and that will be filming part of the proceedings.
Yes, they're taking a selection of events for broadcast themselves. I'm not sure exactly what the format is. Emma, you know more about that, don't you, than me? Of the sort of, can you go over to him?
Yes, so I think they'll be doing a selection of highlights from each day at the festival, so three or four events per night, and then they'll also have a collection of full-length episodes which will capture sort of a really broad range of events from the festival across the week.
And then, of course, there's the Times and the Sunday Times. That's your newspaper partner.
Yes, exactly. And actually, in regarding what Emma's just talked about with current affairs, you know, we're very, very lucky that then, you know, we have sort of the Sunday Times and the Times working with us year round on what they think is important. And I mean, they work in a slightly different way because they're on a sort of 24-hour news cycle. But, you know, say, for example, the Times debate and the Sunday Times debate are curated with their top journalists and their editors
to say, you know, what do we think in October people will really want to know about. So the Times debate is on global Britain post-Brexit, you know, what are we going to be masters of our destiny? And the Sunday Times debate is about China and the challenge to the West from China. So, and also, you know, their journalists are dropped into lots of events and chair for us as well. So they're a big presence in the programme.
And finally, people coming along. When is it? How can they come? What are the logistics of it?
So it's the 8th to the 17th of October, and you can go on our website to book your tickets. It's on sale now to the public, so it's, you know, members on sale has elapsed now, so it's general public sale. But if you know, I always say, if you're not sure what to go to, you know, just pick something almost with a pin and just go along, because almost always you'll be sort of interested, or, you know, it'll be thought-provoking, or it'll open your eyes to something you'd never thought about. So, yeah, or just come and, you know, have a coffee, walk around the site, see what's going on. You don't have to sort of make a big investment. It's the first time you've come, I would say. So, yeah.
And are you looking forward to it?
Yes, I am. I'm looking forward to it. What I love is lying in bed on a Thursday night before and thinking it's all starting, because, of course, some speakers are arriving by car, people are being collected from trains, they're arriving at hotels, and the next morning, there we are. And so that's always a very sort of exciting moment, really. Yeah, I'm walking into the writer's room for the first time, seeing your lovely face, Georgina. Yes.
Well, I'm really, really looking forward to it. The Times and the Sunday Times Cheltenham Literature Festival runs from the 8th to the 17th of October. You've been listening to Monocle Reads. Thanks to the producer, Nora Hull, and researcher, Sophie Monaghan-Coombs. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thanks for listening.